In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As you know, on the last Sunday of each year, we bring up the subject of communism. This, as you know, is, or I should say was, formerly referred to as Red Sunday because it was the Sunday on which we paid attention to the Reds and reminded ourselves of the incredible suffering of those who are under the maw of communism. And the reason why we bring the subject up annually is in order that none of us may ever forget the millions of people who are suffering the terrors, the meanness, the imprisonments, and the deprivations of communism, whether in Soviet Russia or any of its satellite nations. I'm sure those of you who have read much and studied and given thought to communism over the years are as astounded as I at the fact that communism and the evil that it is and the evils that it inspires in the communist bosses, wherever they are in the world, is so incredibly evil, is such a terrible threat to those who are now free to whatever extent, and yet day after day and month and year after year, it is hardly mentioned. The fact that this thing, the Soviet Empire, to be specific, and the Soviet octopus, which has its tentacles into every nation, is busily engaged in undermining all non-communist nations, considers itself at war with all nations which it does not now control. This international conspiracy and imperial drive has now been in visible process for 70 years, with every year has expanded its hold and destroyed people's lives, enslaved countless thousands, and brought more misery on the world than any empire ever has. The fact that this continues to go on and this empire to grow, and it is not a subject of conversation or thought or prayer to most people, ought to be proof of a conspiracy for the most disbelieving. The fact that the great Catholic Church, which has suffered more martyrs from international communism than it did through 300 years of Roman persecution. Now, the conciliar church is not only not concerned about it, but is in visible alliance with it and mouths communist lines and purposes. This is a subject that is altogether beyond belief. And it goes on, as I say, and as you know, constantly. In fact, our younger people have never known anything else. Instead, we are constantly distracted by things in the news media which, in comparison, are trifling. We are urge to indignation over things that, in comparison with the crimes and the torment and the torture of communism and the evil of communism, really hardly even measure in the scale. Today we have only one main purpose, that is to remind you of what communism is, that it is in no way weaker than it was last year. On the contrary, it is oppositely stronger. And to remind you further that communism is of its very nature anti-religious, and it is therefore most surely and expressly and determinedly anti-Catholic. On the subject of just the evil of communism, we must understand that there is nothing good about it. It cannot in any way be redeemed by the naivete of some, the liberal attitudes of others, or the idealism of still others. There is absolutely nothing good about it simply because it of its nature works evil without apology. It is, in a word, satanic. It specializes in the most terrible kinds of tortures. We will give you examples, although we don't want to be too long-winded on this subject. Consider this. This has to do with how the communists learn to regard all those who are in their control. You must understand, as if you need me to tell you, that communism is materialistic and therefore does not consider that there is any life after death. Furthermore, it does not consider that there is a God, so no God to punish them for their crimes, for their cruelties. People are to be used as possessions and resources, as anything else in the territory of their control. One small problem has been omitted from this discussion. When the communists seize power, the adult population will have personalities and characters created by the capitalist system. They will require special treatment. It may be possible to re-educate some, and special institutions will need to be created for this purpose. In these institutions, the therapy of rewardless labor will be firmly but mercifully administered. We know, unmercifully administered, but they say mercifully administered. Naturally, the enemies of socialism will classify this enforced unpaid labor as slave labor. This charge can be dismissed as slander. It can be pointed out that both surgeons and murderers cut human flesh, but one does it creatively, the other destructively. Naturally, it will not be possible to re-educate all the sufferers from the capitalist disease, so the responsibility for disposing of the incurably ill will be inescapable. Again, to the uninitiated and prejudiced observer, this elimination may appear to be mass murder, but the enlightened will know it is actually an act of kindness, a form of social euthanasia in which the terminally ill are delivered from their intolerable anguish. After having required and carried out the deliberate starvation of over 15 million people of Ukraine, someone of his underlings remarked to Stalin, the number that there were at least 15 million people who had been extinguished. He casually responded, "There will always be people." With regard to the slave labor, there is this. It is no secret to anyone in our country that starting with the White Sea Canal, not a single great reconstruction project has been completed without the slave labor of prisoners, nor could it be, even in principle. For a Soviet citizen, this is axiomatic. Explaining this situation to people in the West is more difficult. Some are simply incapable of imagining the horrifying reality that is concealed behind the showcase of the communist world. Others find it politically or economically beneficial to pretend to be uninformed. This is said with regard to the many companies in the so-called Free West who do business with these communist nations, and they do business at the encouragement of their governments, whereas the American government, for instance, is sedulously preoccupied with encouraging business with the Soviet Union and Red China, promoting the silly idea that there is some kind of friction between the Soviet Union and China, and to build up China is something threatening to Russia. Anyhow, while they are doing that, they are doing their best to destroy the South African government, which, whatever its crimes, pale into total insignificance compared to any of the Soviet or socialist countries. They expect to receive information on the camps and the slave labor of prisoners from, of all places, the Soviet press. They're so stupid as to believe the Soviets mean what they say, that anything that comes from the Soviet press is not for the consumption of the stupid. If anything, the Soviets are not going to tell you anything but what they want you to know or what they want you to think. And what they want you to know and what they want you to think is not necessarily the truth. Too bad it is not the political bigwigs who will finally become candidates for these same camps, but rather the hordes of young people they've deceived, all the enthralled little greens, the environmentalists, the reds and the pinks. Poor, miserable souls. I'm afraid that in the not too distant future, they may have to lay their ill-famed pipeline further under guard. As for our prisoners of today who are already working on the gas pipeline, I pity them 100 times more. You may remember early in the Reagan administration that Ronald Reagan made something of the fact that the Soviets were going to use slave labor to build that many-mile pipeline. Then the thing dropped out of the news, and all the equipment and machinery that was going to be sold, which was just waiting, was shipped on schedule. With regard to the hatred of the communists for religion in any form, especially for Christianity, I quote to you first of all what Lenin said: every religious idea, every idea of a God, even flirting with the idea of God, is unutterable vileness of the most dangerous kind. disease of the most abominable kind. Millions of sins, filthy deeds, acts of violence, and physical contagions are far less dangerous than the subtle spiritual idea of a God decked out in the smartest ideological costumes. A certain refugee from the Soviet Union who taught in an Orthodox seminary in New York said this: "The reality of life in the Soviet Union is frightful, is a frightful nightmare that can be neither understood nor believed by those who have not experienced it. And the most frightful thing is not the material deprivations, arrests, and banishments, but rather that there is a conscious, systematic, and diabolically ingenious battle that is being waged for the possession of the human soul against God. This is the chief aim, and everything else is subordinated to it." They make a great deal of the idea, and it's only an idea, that in Hitler's Germany, some 6 million Jews were put to death. I'm sure all of you are informed well enough to know that that is a gigantic lie. But even if that happened, it would not explain why the news media would not make something more of greater numbers of people murdered most cruelly. It is estimated that since the communists took over in Soviet Union, and these remarks pertain mainly to the Soviet Union, but they can be applied to all communist countries. When they took over in Russia, there were 300,000 priests. Now there are about 13,000. There used to be, at the beginning of that era, around 1910 and 1920, 60,000 churches. They reduced the number to 100 in the 20s and 30s, but they came to the conclusion that it was bad propaganda, and so they allowed a few hundred more to open, so that now they have some 6,500 churches which people may go to. And people travel for hundreds of miles simply to go to their Orthodox masses. Under the state's regulations, the churches are not allowed to organize special meetings, religious or otherwise, of children, youth, or women. They are not allowed to organize literature, handicraft, or religious education groups or circles. They are not allowed to organize excursions, set up playgrounds, or open libraries or reading rooms. Children and young people may not be taught religion in Sunday schools or catechism classes. Any form of religious education of minors, including sermons, must be understood as transgressions against the regulations established by Soviet law. Soviet law regarding religion also forbids the organizing of minors to serve when priests carry out religious functions or ceremonies. And it goes on and on. And of course, if any priest has the foolishness to speak out against the government, he is accused of engaging in political activity, and he is therefore judged guilty of subversion. I think of that when occasionally someone says that my opposition in the pulpit to communism is political. It must always be understood that with communists, all things are political, because communism is totalitarianism. Everything is their right and everything is their concern. They claim the right to tell you what you may think, how long you may breathe, where you may live, what you may hold in your hand, whom you may father, whom you may marry. and they claim the right to do anything to your body that expediency requires. And if we may not condemn them, who may condemn them? We must understand that the church judges them. The church condemns them. And the church prays for the fall of their governments. And the church prays that they, the murderers, will be brought to justice. Our opposition to communism is on a parallel with our opposition to all other forms of heresy. And if at any time we here cease either to speak it and you cease to hate communism, then you are failing the purposes of your coming. During the Stalinist era, the bullet was the preferred manner of dealing with dissidents of any sort. Today, many who are considered especially dangerous by the Soviets because they are religious activists or because they speak too openly of their faith. And in this regard, I hope none of you is so uninformed as to imagine that this Andrei Sakharov is one of these dissidents. He is most obviously a Soviet agent, and all this to do over his affair is for your consumption. If they want to silence anyone, they have myriad means. And they don't let them give press conferences and international news coverage. And they don't let them collect any Nobel Prizes. And they don't let them do research on their books and publish them within those borders. Even the American government doesn't allow such things as that on occasion. Because they are religious activists, they are sent to psychiatric hospitals, so-called. Here, after a lengthy regimen of mind-altering drugs, confinement in isolation cells, and various refined tortures, they are rendered harmless insofar as any further danger to the Soviet state is concerned. The famous Russian Orthodox priest, Father Dmitry Dudko, was a guest, quotation marks, in one of these facilities a few years ago, after having given a series of stirring and courageous sermons that resulted in his arrest. After his release, there were no more sermons from Father Dmitry, but only an attitude of completely passive submission. His reaction is typical. Few, even from among the most pious or sturdy of believers, are prepared for the sadistic, hellish torture chambers that are known as psychiatric hospitals in the Soviet Union. Several authors who have themselves been confined in the Gulag system have stated that the psychiatric prisons are filled with believers. The attitude of the communist authorities toward those poor people is exemplified by the statement of Katerina Kurakina, medical superintendent of one of these hospitals in Leningrad. People who believe in God, she informs us, belong in a mental ward. We reiterate, because it is our duty, our hatred of this whole system, communism in every form, and we oppose all those who in any way defend it, be they socialists or welfarists or well-intentioned, but culpably well-intentioned liberals. After 70 years of bloodshed, murder, and every kind of wickedness, with the sworn intention of enslaving the whole world, anyone who does not recognize communism for what it is either himself a communist or he is beyond reclamation. And we say these things, furthermore, so that you children may remember that you, as a Catholic, must learn what communism is and you must oppose it. Now, for all of you, I remind you that you can do these two little things. More and more in the department stores, you see things that have been purchased from communist countries, China, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary. They say China. We don't like to give the People's Republic of China, as they call it, the name of China. Anyhow, you should notice the things you buy, because you can do this, not buy things made by the poor slaves of these countries. Secondly, you probably have a Yugo dealership somewhere in these parts. We do in Louisville. Would not be a bad idea for you to make sure that the owner of that business has read something on the Soviet slave system, the fact that the country, the government of those Soviet nations rests on the beaten backs of the poor people, those who either are slaves or will be. You might call on this quotation marks gentleman, whatever he is, and see if he knows what he's doing in selling these worthless Yugos. I heard that a man kicked the tires of one and the thing went flat. Just kidding. Or you could mail him something just to make sure that he does know what he's doing. If you're brave, you might get some signs and walk up in front of his business, telling the whole world that this man is so greedy for money that he would sell the produce of slaves. Lastly, we must pray for the poor people who suffer this, while we pray that we never have to. This is our annual prayer, and we are dedicated to it. And every one of us must rededicate ourselves to the exposure of communism. Insofar as it is exposed, the Soviets know this, the communists know this, it loses its grip. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.